funny, and I heard you earlier. It's not, I guess it's not funny, but when you think back of a humorous story about Jim, like, there are a lot of little things and a lot of good times and a lot of things that, that we did together, but the one thing that, that always comes to mind about Jim O'Brien, and I think it's, well, I know it's something that, that has helped me, is his intense desire to be the best and to succeed and do everything to the best of his ability and actually better than that. And you can call him being a perfectionist or whatever, but that's the one thing that I always remember about Jim. He, every minute, every second that he was on the air, and even when he wasn't on the air, just the desire to do well and to be the best. I don't know. There were some good times, and we made a bicycle trip down to Virginia at one time, and we'd gone out just to have a good time every once in a while. But I can't really think of a humorous story, and it's not because he's not a humorous guy.
Oh, sure.
He was a great guy, and he was a fun guy to be around. And I guess there is a humorous story, and
okay.
I'll tell you how intense that he was. And it happened at FYL, the studios, when they were in the same building as Channel 6, and I know there's a fellow there tonight that I work with, that you work with, Jerry Donahue, and may remember Jim hit the wall so hard one time because he couldn't get a commercial right. And we had a lot of fun around FYL for quite a few weeks making recordings of his outburst, but it was an outburst because he couldn't be perfect in recording a commercial that he was trying to do. And
I think I have a copy of that in the newsroom.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
We all have a copy of that, and we go back, and I played it for Jim a couple times, maybe in the last couple of years I played it for him, and he couldn't believe I still had a copy of it, and he got a big laugh out of it. But it goes to show that Jim was always trying to be the best at whatever he did, and he wouldn't settle for anything less than perfection. And if there's anybody that can get close to perfection, it was Jim O'Brien. He was always right there. I know he's made a tremendous influence on me, and I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for Jim O'Brien. I wouldn't even be close.
Howard Eskin, over at Channel 3, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk with us tonight.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Have a good one. Good night. 11:35 at WFIL. This is our tribute to Jim O'Brien, a man who started his Philadelphia career right here in August of 1970. Let's go back to the phones and talk to you about your best and happiest memory about Jim O'Brien. Judy Atta, you're on WFIL.
Yes, the things I remember a lot about Jim O'Brien is the way he would do the 6 to 10 on WFIL.
When he did the morning show, sure, after DVR left.
Then when he switched over and was doing that Dialing for Dollars, he's a guy there that really dedicated to everything that, you know, that ever put his mind to and got everything right. But right now, the best thing really liked about him the most was the way he did the weather. No matter how bad it was, he would he could always cheer you up somewhere along the line. And when I heard about it down at the Eagles game, I just couldn't believe it.
Well, how did you hear about it, sir?
We heard it on the radio that somebody had, because I'm down here at the 348 section, and when I heard that, I just couldn't believe it. It's, you know, it's a shocker, but he knew what he was doing. And the way we heard on the news is he gave his life for somebody else.
That seemed to be rather obvious, you know. I mean, when he abandoned his parachute and tried to open up the spare, it became rather obvious at that point that O'Brien, you know, wanted to make sure that at least one person was safe.
Right. That's the way he did the news, too.
Yeah, he was always apparently committed to what he did.
Right. It's going to be hard trying to watch Channel 6 without him being on there.
Or would you continue to watch?
Oh, I'll continue to watch, but like I said, it'd be hard not seeing old Jimbo there.
Yeah, I understand. Sir,
wherever he is, God bless him.
All right, sir, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
All righty. 11:37 at WFIL. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to Jim O'Brien's old boss here at WFIL, a man who is now down in Tampa, Florida, as a general manager. We'll be talking to Jay Cook coming up shortly. So keep it right here. We've got more surprises coming up between now and 1 o'clock in the morning on this special edition of WFIL Crossfire. We go to New Jersey at 966-3900 and say good evening to Belmar. You're on the air.
Hi. My name is Ro, and
I don't need your name, but go ahead.
I think the one thing that I remember was one time Jim had caught a snowstorm that was supposed to be a dusting, and it turned out to be a full-scale snowstorm.
I remember when that happened. That was like January of 1978, right?
Right. And he
because I'll tell you, let me just tell you a really humorous story about that. I watched the same broadcast that night, okay? And I was working for a radio station in Doylestown at the time, and I said to myself, well, you know, if Jim O'Brien says we're just going to get rain, I'll tell you what, just to be safe, I'll get up an hour early, and if, you know, there is some snow, I'll have an extra hour to get to Doylestown, no problem. And lo and behold, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was driving a Red Beetle at the time, and I look outside my bedroom window, and all I saw was white, you know? And I was cursing Jim O'Brien because I couldn't get to work. But yes, I do remember that night.
Well, I think what was funny about it is he was so humble that with the next show, he put a fake egg on his face. And that is just one thing that stands out in my mind because I had laughed so hard. And my mother, God rest her soul, was alive then too. And she said, what's he doing? I said, well, he's being very humble and he's showing me called it wrong. And he was just so up. And you never knew what he was going to come out with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you really didn't want to know because the spontaneousness of him just made him fantastic. And I hope and pray for all his friends and the family and everything that my prayers go with them.
I think they all do, ma'am. Everybody here listening, I'm sure everyone in the Delaware Valley is praying for Jim O'Brien tonight. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, thank you.
Right, bye-bye. 11:39 at WFIL. A couple of minutes ago, we were telling you about Jim O'Brien's old boss, the man who brought Jim O'Brien to WFIL. Well, Jay Cook is now a general manager at WIQI in Tampa, Florida, and he's with us live on the WFIL Newsline from Florida. Jay, good evening.
Good evening, Dave. How you doing?
Not too bad. We were talking earlier this afternoon when all this went down. Why don't you tell me about the story of how Jim O'Brien actually came to WFIL firstly?
Well, I think it's a classic story, and I think it illustrates the kind of guy he was. Jim was program director of KHJ in Los Angeles at that time, which is probably the glamour radio station in America, and he decided that he didn't like management and he wanted to be on the air. He had a difficult time finding a job because most program directors wouldn't hire him because they would think that he was after their job, I guess. So when we put the deal together for FIL, the first thing he did, the first day in the radio station, was come in and close the door, which he did quite often, and just tell me, I don't want your job. I appreciate the fact that you've given me an opportunity to do what I want to do. And let me tell you right now that if you ever need anybody to do anything at any time, I'm your guy. You don't have to worry about me saying, hey, you used me last time. I'm there. I'll be living close to the station, so I'll be there in 5 minutes. And he followed up on that promise, not only in situations where you needed them in an emergency thing, but whatever you needed them for, whenever you needed it, paid or not paid, he was always there. And that just typifies the kind of guy Jim O'Brien was and his dedication to whatever he chose to do.
I'll tell you, though, the one thing that, you know, I was concerned about in following Jim O'Brien's career here at WFIL, because I grew up listening to this radio station, and later at Channel 6, was that when Jim got involved in the motorcycling and in the skydiving later, you have to kind of scratch your head and say, why take those kind of risks, you know?
Well, I think almost everybody's touched on that earlier in the program. He did those kind of things, but he did them in a very calculated way. Jim O'Brien is one of the first guys that I knew that insisted that motorcyclists should wear helmets. He was, I'm sure, tragic accident today was just that, an accident. I know Jim went over every step of the preparation. He just didn't do anything without being totally prepared for it, so I don't think he saw it as that great a risk.
It's obvious, though, from reading the accounts and from talking to police on the scene, that if indeed anything happened in terms of a scenario here, that Jim O'Brien made a sacrifice for his fellow parachutist.
I believe that, and I think that's totally consistent with the Jim O'Brien that I know.
Mm. When he was doing the morning show, when Dr. Don Rose left, how hard was it for him to do mornings here, go down the hall over at 4100 City Line Avenue, do Dialing for Dollars, go do the noon weather, do the 6 and 11 o'clock weather, and then go home and come back and do FIL the next morning?
Well, I think we all thought it was impossible, but he didn't. When he came to me and when Dr. Don went to San Francisco, he asked me for the show, And I asked him, how is it possible for you to do this? And radio was always his first priority. And he just wanted to do it. And he would go to the health club every day and work out. He would eat ridiculous sweet germ and all this stuff to make sure that his energy level was always high. It was never a problem for him. I think the lure of the money and the final ego gratification, and certainly after 2 years of doing the best he could no longer do it. It's just impossible. But I think we were more concerned about it than he was.
Well, it's obvious because I'm looking at my engineer, Jerry Donahue. Of course, you know Jerry. And Jerry's chuckling through all these stories here, so it's obvious Jim O'Brien must have been loved in his years here at FIL.
He was loved in his years at FIL, and I think his crowning glory was Channel 6.
That's true.
He was on radio, and he was excellent. He was even better on Channel 6. And I think the one thing that people maybe saw glimpses of but never knew the depth of the man, he was quite a guy, and I'm very pleased to have known him.
Jay Cook, former program director at WFIL, now down at WIQI in Tampa, Florida as a general manager. Jay, you've been super cooperative with us tonight. Just one favor, did George Michael get in touch with you tonight?
Yes, he did.
All right. If you guys get any preparations together for the funeral, get in touch. If there's anything we can do, don't hesitate to ask.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Jay. Have a good night. 11:44 at WFIL. You know, we've been talking a lot. If you've listened to the Sunday Night Show, which changed the crossfire, I have referred several times to my engineer. In a moment, Jerry Donahue talks about Jim O'Brien after this.
Hi, this is the boss, challenging you to count the music on WFIL. You could win up to $5,600.
Monday morning, WFIL will start telling you when to begin counting the music and writing down the title of each song played on Solid Gold Radio. Then, when the boss jock gives the word, we'll take the 15th random caller on the gold phones. If you correctly identify the number of songs played and their titles, you'll win $2,560. Then, you'll be asked if you wish to trade in that prize for a chance to enter the WFIL Gold Vault with the boss and win up to $5,600. If you decide to enter the vault, you'll have 20 seconds to stop the boss as he announces dollar amounts. When you say stop, you'll win the next dollar amount announced.
$5,600.
We've got a winner!
Get set for the Count the Music Challenge, beginning Monday morning on Solid Gold Radio, Famous 56 WFIL.
Famous 56 WFIL.
We'll be checking UPI News coming up in about 11 minutes as we continue on this special edition of Crossfire. As you know, I have referred many times to the fictional Jerry, if you will. Jerry Donahue has been an FIL tradition. I mean, you have been here, Jerry, for how many years?
31 years.
And you've done just about everything there is to do. You were out at 46th and Market. You were up at
the Widener Building before that.
Right, okay. Then you were at City Line Avenue, and now, of course, here in the beautiful Roxborough section. Your happiest story about the 6.5 years that Jim O'Brien worked here?
Well, I've got to start at the beginning, Dave,
okay.
I think. When Jay touched on this a few minutes ago, when we figured we'd have to bring this guy on with a big flair. So Jay and I and a few other people, this is hard to do incidentally, Dave,
okay.
Got together and we figured we'd start with the Midday Cowboy. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
the promo
right.
campaign?
Mm-hmm.
And we started with the From Out of the West Comes the Midday Cowboy, and we had him say, "Hi-ho, everyone." Well, we ran these promos for about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. Then O'Brien came to town. The first thing out of his mouth to me was, "Who's the wise guy?"
Who came up with the promo?
Came up with the Midday Cowboy idea. I'm not out of the West. I'm here in Philadelphia. I'm a Philadelphian now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was a Philadelphian. A lot of people don't know this about O'Brien. And you're going to have to help me through this.
Okay, fine.
A lot of people don't know about O'Brien. But O'Brien unselfishly gave of himself to many, many people, many, many organizations, things that were not on the air, things that he just went out to shake somebody's hand. He did this not only to the people, our listeners out there, but he did it to us. He always had FIL first and foremost in his mind, as everyone said here tonight. Whenever I put a contest on the air or did a promo, did a spot, I would always get a critique from O'Brien, whether I wanted it or not.
But he cared that much about the place.
He cared that much. He felt that FIL was his home. A very interesting point just came up a few weeks ago. You were talking about you went out to the marathon, that O'Brien was up for something like 56 hours to do.
Right.
One of his comments to you, if I'm not mistaken, was, tell Donahue the jingles don't sound too good on the air
right.
and fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? Donahue had to fix them because this fella was a perfectionist, and I looked for that perfection all the time from O'Brien. I'm going to miss him. I really am.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I'm learning. I watched O'Brien at 6. I listened to him here. And I'm probably learning more about Jim O'Brien tonight than I knew in the, 10 years? Well, not 10, actually, 13 years that he was here in Philadelphia. Must have been a hell of a man.
Oh, great guy. Oh, great guy. There will never be another Jim O'Brien. There will never be another Jim O'Brien. He always used to say, I'm going to do this for a few more years, then I'm going to go out to my palatial palace in Waco, Texas, and sit on the front stoop and just watch the world go by. Everyone knew that was a lie. O'Brien would never do that. O'Brien died with his boots on, and that's the way he wanted to live, and that's the way he went. A proud, proud man, and I'm very proud to know him.
Thank you. Jerry Donahue, the production director here at WFIL. Jerry, thanks a lot. Get behind the board again, will you? All right. And thanks to John Mack, who stuck around and watched the board during that. Let's go to the phones now and talk to you. 263-8900 and 966-3900. Thanks to all of you who have been on hold through this time period and, putting up with all those here. All right, Hatfield, Montgomery County. You're on
Frankfurt.
No, this is Frankfurt. I'm sorry. I'll learn how to read these signs. You're on WFIL. Hello.
Okay, how you doing? Listen, I have two memories about Jim O'Brien. One night, Jim Gardner over at Channel 6 was introducing him as a man who is loved by all the secretaries, Jim O'Brien, and Jim snapped back with, Jim, you ignorant homo sapien.
Aha! Uh-huh. You should have seen Jerry had his finger on the button right? Okay. What's the other story?
And last April, he delivered parachuted into Veterans Stadium, at the baseball to open the centennial season of the Philadelphia Phillies. He missed the target by about 20 feet, but he was right on the mark.
Uh-huh.
And I was there, and I was listening to the Pittsburgh-Montreal game on another radio station, and I'm not going to mention the call letters.
Well, if it's not anyone in Philadelphia, it doesn't matter.
It is in Philadelphia.
All right, then don't mention it.
All right. And it was because the Phillies were in this rain delay, as you know, and they broke into the ball game that they were going to go back, but before they did, they announced that Jim O'Brien died, and I was shocked. I was deeply, emotionally shocked.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, let me just tell you how we learned about it. We had Wayne Cabot, of course, was doing news, and we received a telephone call from one of our sources. And the guy says, well, did you hear? And I was down the hall typing out a letter to the editor of the Philadelphia Daily News about our debate, which is still sitting in a typewriter up there in the hallway. Uh-huh. And Wayne comes up to me. He says, this guy's on the phone in the newsroom. And I said, oh, yeah, what about? He says, Jim O'Brien apparently is dead. And I looked at him, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't believe him. I really didn't believe him at first. Then I went back and Marie Melchione called, and she said she had heard a rumor from a friend of hers that Jim O'Brien was killed. And that's when we went to work on the story, Wayne and I, and indeed confirmed it, and then you heard it. And I'll tell you something. The one thing I've noticed in doing the interviews that we've done this afternoon and, of course, in putting together this program tonight, and it's been very, very difficult insofar as It's been very time-consuming, and I haven't really had much time to do news all day. But I have learned that Jim O'Brien was a man who was greatly loved by everyone he touched. That much is obvious, because the cooperation I've been getting from people all over the country tonight is just a fitting tribute to the man, I think, more than anything.
Thanks a lot, okay?
All right, thanks for calling. Have a good night. It's 11:53 at WFIL. We now go to Hatfield. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm John.
Don't need your name, sir. Go ahead.
I got a good memory of Jim O'Brien.
Please do.
And, well, when he did the MS Marathon back in 73.
Sir, don't listen to your radio, okay?
Anyway, I'm a little mum before. They gave away tickets to the marathon, you know, to the show. They had the Eagles there, Billy Preston, Dr. Hook, and it was held at the Spectrum. And I called in, and I won two tickets. And he announced my name on the air and everything. He said, "Well, see you down there, Big John," you know. And I said, "What? How do you know I was big?" You know, because I'm 6 foot three. I was 6 foot three at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got a psychic or what, you know what I mean? But I used to watch him on the weather all the time. He used to always crack me up. And, well, I'm going to miss the man, as we all will. Mm-hmm. I was watching the thing on the news here on tonight, and all the people were really devastated by it. And my friend John, my neighbor, came over and told me about him dying. And I said, "What? You're kidding me." Mm-hmm. And I heard later on the news that you were having a... I said, "I don't believe it. He's dead." My girlfriend told me he died. I said, "Oh, no, you're kidding me. I can't believe this. This doesn't happen, man. It's a dream, you know? I had to pinch myself along, you know?" But it's
going to be tough, really, I think, to watch Channel 6 tomorrow night and not see Jim O'Brien there. You'll probably think he's on vacation.
You ain't lying.
All right, sir, thanks for calling. One more call before the news. West Philadelphia, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, am I?
Yes, please. You go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say that Jim O'Brien was a great man. You know, he was good. I listened to him on the weather, when he done the news, when he done his radio program at WFIL. And I'll tell you, he was really good. He was funny. He always cheered you up in the morning.
I think that's what he did on Channel 6 too, sir. It's what he tried to do.
Right, he was very good, you know, and I enjoyed him. And I'll tell you, I live in an apartment building here with other handicapped people that are like myself, and we are all very much shocked by it.
Hmm. I think the whole Delaware Valley is. I must move along, but thanks so much for calling. It's 11:56 at WFIL. We're going to take time out for UPI News, and then after that, we will continue with our tribute to Jim O'Brien. If you're on the phones, please stay with us through the news. If not, we have one open line in Philadelphia, 263-8900. Our lines in New Jersey are jammed, but take down the number, 966-3900, toll-free from Camden County in South Jersey.
UPI News. This is Don Rollins. The ceasefire agreement for Lebanon is supposed to take effect within the hour. Jim Anderson reports there has been some concern from U.S. officials traveling with the president at the United Nations.
There were a couple of anxious hours for American officials as they waited for word from Damascus that the Syrians had agreed to the ceasefire. Finally, almost 2 hours later than planned, the announcement was made in Damascus. Apparently, there was a last-minute hang-up over the size and role of the United Nations troops who will be part of the observer force in Lebanon. The U.S. Marine role will be unchanged. They will remain in place. But presumably, there will be less shooting at them, deliberate or accidental. This is Jim Anderson in New York.
At last report, the shelling continues in Lebanon despite the midnight Eastern Time ceasefire deadline. Shells have bombarded Beirut suburbs, and some have come close to the U.S. Marines at the international airport. Two Marines were injured by explosions. A third was wounded by a sniper's bullet. President Reagan is in New York. He held a reception for UN delegates tonight. Tomorrow, he addresses the General Assembly. Continental Airlines won't be flying until Tuesday, and then at a drastically reduced schedule. The line filed for bankruptcy this weekend and plans to reorganize into a much tighter ship. The company says 8,500 of its 12,000 employees will lose their jobs. Captain Hank Duffy of the Airline Pilots Association is asking the government to look into this.
we've asked the FAA and the Civil Aeronautics Board to take that whole operation under some pretty intense scrutiny and form a judgment as to the safety that can be expected in that if they do operate.
Members of the Striking Machinist Union have accused the airline of union busting. A Japanese patrol boat has arrived at Sakhalin Island to meet with Soviet officials who will turn over material recovered from the Korean jetliner shot down earlier this month. You're listening to UPI World News. Our defense secretary is in China. Among other things, he's trying to improve America's relationship with the Peking government. Correspondent Richard C. Gross explains some of the other things Mr. Weinberger is trying to accomplish.
Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger is enthusiastically wooing China to forge closer strategic ties with the United States, dangling the promise of transferring American technology to Peking. But his Chinese counterpart, Chiang Kai-ping, publicly shied from direct acceptance of the U.S. offers, though he encouraged a dialogue on the subject between the two countries. Arriving from Japan for a four-day visit, Weinberger was to hold his first round of talks with Jong on Monday about the transfer of American technology under new U.S. guidelines yet to be published. This is Richard C. Gross in Peking.
There is a serious strike underway in Brazil. Over a quarter million sugarcane workers are moving into their third day of a job action that has been marred with much violence. This is Emmy night in Hollywood, the TV version of the Oscars. The winner for lead actress in a comedy series is Shelley Long of NBC's Cheers, best actor in a comedy series, Judd Hirsch of Taxi. Chris Lloyd and Carol Kane of the now-canceled Taxi series won for their supporting roles. Ms. Kane won the best actress Emmy.
I don't feel that the show should be over. I'm sure you've heard that 8 billion times, because no one whose show is over feels their show should be over. But I know that we're the highest quality show there is, with the best actors.
Doris Roberts and James Coco of TV's St. Elsewhere captured the best supporting acting Emmys in a drama series. They're calling it the Great Escape. 38 terrorists broke out of the Mays prison this weekend in Northern Ireland. Officials say upwards of 16 have been recaptured. Ex-King Leopold of Brussels has died after undergoing heart surgery. He was 82. After leading the resistance against the Nazis, Leopold lived throughout World War II a virtual prisoner in the palace outside Brussels. Fresh fighting is reported 17 miles northeast of San Salvador between government troops and leftist rebels. No casualties reported. An estimated 80,000 Peruvian students and workers marched for 3 miles through the capital, Montevideo, on Sunday, demanding an end to 10 years of military rule. That's news from United Press International. This is Don Rollins.
56 Sports Flash.
The Philadelphia Phillies defeated the St. Louis Cardinals in 10 innings yesterday, 6-5. Montreal bested Pittsburgh yesterday, 5-3. So the Phillies' lead in the National League East is extended to 4 games. The magic number to clinch the division is down to 3. However, at the Vet, the St. Louis football Cardinals got some revenge, at least for the city. They defeated the Eagles 14-11 thanks to a last-minute touchdown pass by John Hart.
56 forecast.
Clear and cool overnight, low 48. Monday, partial sunshine, high of 72. The WFIL Philadelphia temperature, 53.
Crossfire. This is Crossfire,
Crossfire
with David Madden.
It's 12:01 now at WFIL. Our telephone number is 263-8900 in Philadelphia in the Pennsylvania suburbs. 966-3900, toll-free from Camden County in South Jersey. It's our salute to Jim O'Brien tonight. Jim, of course, I mean, if you've been listening to the program at all, you know what happened. He died yesterday at a little after 12 noon in a parachuting mishap in New Hanover Township, Montgomery County. And, I mean, what more can you say? I mean, we could sit here and pay all kinds of tributes and almost get maudlin about it, but I really don't think that's the way Jim O'Brien would have wanted it. Now, in the second hour, we'll have a couple of special reports, but this hour is basically your hour. So if you had some trouble getting through in the first hour, we'll be moving along here in the second hour. I want to hear your happiest memory about Jim O'Brien. Enough said, okay? Let's go to Fishtown. You're on WFIL at 12:02. Help.
Okay.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Madden, I'd like to say
I've had quite a few shocks for a while, okay? One was when Elvis Presley died, and the other one was, I think, Frank Reynolds from another news station in Philadelphia. But the other one was when Jim O'Brien had died yesterday afternoon. See, I had just got done working with him for the muscular dystrophy telethon.
We were both there.
And, yes, sir, I remember. And I've had also worked him in...